Yesterday, we had the opportunity to spend some time with Dr. Timothy Nash, who's the Vice President of Strategic and Corporate Alliances at Northwood University. We talked about some of the challenges facing our economy here in the United States. And this morning, we're going to go further and discuss what could be done to perhaps fix some of the challenges that we have. Dr. Nash, how are you?
Doing well, Tony. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Many of the things we discussed yesterday, a lot of us have heard, a lot of the general public knows about. Why do you think it's not sinking in and we're not calling for more of an immediate call to action?
I really believe that you're right that many people are aware of what's going on, but I would argue that the vast majority of Americans do not see that our deficit is a real problem. Because Europe is across the Atlantic Ocean, they don't really see on a regular basis all of the problems that are happening in Europe and the fact that they're 4 or 5 years ahead of us in terms of their deficit burden. And I think last but not least, when you look at the true financial problems, Americans are generally very optimistic and think that we can fix things, and I would generally agree with them, but they don't see that the fix is a lot more difficult than what appears to be the case from the politicians out of Washington, D.C.
How long would the fix take?
I think that if the fix were put in place and it were a long-term process of 10 or so years, you could cut 2% from the federal budget, and you could balance the budget and move forward with a deficit reduction by 2020. And so, in essence, when you look at the kinds of things that I'm sure you've had to do over the years at McDonald Communications or in the lean years at Northwood University or any corporation that's gone through the business cycle, you can do these kinds of things with a open discussion about what the problems are and then a disciplined cut of 2%. Now, would 2% harm certain individuals in certain areas of the economy? The answer is yes. But would that cut be something that was much more palatable than the kinds of collapses that are taking place right now in Greece and Spain and some of the other European countries?
Would those changes, the fix, if you will, be political suicide for the legislation, for the Senate, should they choose to do that?
And I think the problem today, because of general ignorance, Tony, it is political suicide. But I really truly believe that if the American people, Democrats and Republicans alike, truly understood where we are today, the fix would be palatable and it would be doable in a relatively short period of time.
Dr. Nash, let's say whoever the president is, they call you and they say, Tim, we're going to have you take control of the situation, go for it. So whatever needs to be done, you have our blessing. What would you do?
I would start out on a 50-state tour. I would visit people like yourself, and I would literally start an education program from the basic. This is a football, this is blocking and tackling, and explain to people what a basic budget is, the sources of revenue to the federal government, that tax increases on any large scale are not the answer. And again, I would point out to individuals, your household budget is something that you have to balance on a weekly, a monthly, a yearly basis, or you have problems. There's no difference there with the federal government, and the federal government is today 41%. Federal, state, and government is today 41% of GDP. It was less than 8% in 1900. We have a problem. Government is too large today. We cannot afford it. And I think if we had a basic program where we communicated with Americans, Americans are bright, they are caring, they love their country, we would have this problem solved. But the vast majority of people do not realize the problem.
So educate, then implement.
Educate, then implement is a great way to put it. I'm going to coin your phrase.
All right. Specifically, what needs to be done?
Specifically, we need to make certain that we are looking at the fact that when we look at programs today, we are paying levels that are high in versus the revenue that's coming in a number of areas, from our social welfare programs to general government spending. I truly believe that there are ways that we can cut government spending. If you look at a country like New Zealand, was an economic basket case 30 years ago. It was considered a socialist economy. It wasn't in the top 50 countries in terms of the Wall Street Journal, Heritage Foundation, Freedom Competitiveness Index. Today they're number 4, and what they did was they simply took a look at the programs, made them a lot more efficient, cut a lot of government waste out. Their government national debt was well over 100% of GDP, and they were able to make dramatic changes, and that is a model that I think can be used by the United States. We have the former Minister of Employment, Deputy Minister of Finance, speaking at our annual economics seminar on May 18th at the Henry Hotel in Dearborn. He's going to talk about the solutions that New Zealand used to effectively make change. Canada, Tony, has balanced its federal budget. Why can't we?
When we talk about cutting those social programs, there is going to be resistance for that, especially from unions. How do we handle that and perhaps get them to see the light?
Well, I think that unions have to understand that when you look at the United States today, I did programs for a long time with General Motors and the UAW under their Pell program. These are bright, caring people. They want the same things as non-union members. And as we take a look at union membership, especially in the private sector, it's on decline. And a big part of it is because we're losing productivity because of our tax and regulatory burden in this country. We need to get people together at that same table and talk about the facts. It's not just we talked about the fiscal side, but, you know, the United States is also becoming a more regulated country. It's more difficult to start a business today than it was 10 years ago. It's very difficult to overcome a lot of cumbersome regulations. And I think that if we sat down and compared who we're up against competitively around the world without compromising safety, without compromising any kind of efficiency, we can make the United States a much more competitive country. And unions, I think, are a big part of that.
What happens if we do not get out of harm's way, and when does it happen?
I think that if I had that crystal ball, with all due respect, I'd be on the phone with you from my little island in the Caribbean. So I would say to you that nobody knows for certain when a major decline will happen again, such as the 2008-2009 crisis here. But I think that if we don't do something about it, we're looking at the next 1 to 3 years where we could see a major decline in the U.S. economy again. Investors have lost confidence in the ability of the American government to reduce our deficit, as evidenced by our credit rating declining. And again, look to Europe. A number of those countries are 4 or 5 years ahead of us in terms of debt as a percent of GDP, and their borrowing costs are double, triple the cost to borrow money, and it's one of the reasons for the economic crisis in Europe.
So we could end up like Greece?
We could end up like Greece. We could absolutely end up like Greece or Spain or Italy. And we are the United States of America. We are the world leaders, and we have to make certain that the American people understand all of the problems and make certain that that does not happen.
Dr. Nash, final question for you. What really caused the Great Depression and the Great Recession?
Well, when you look at the Great Depression, at base root, I happen to be from the Milton Friedman School of thought. Dr. Friedman was a dear friend, wrote the foreword to a book that I co-authored. And I think that when you look at the Great Depression, there were three major factors that caused the Great Depression. One, improper government monetary policy. Two, we doubled the income tax. And third thing that we did was not as big of a problem back then as it would be today, and that is that we had a trade war with especially Europe. The Smoot-Hawley tariff doubled tariffs in a number of areas, and it brought on the Great Depression. And the Great Depression lasted long because the policies that we had in place did not really reverse those effects. And when we look at the Great Recession, I would place the problem in two areas: improper regulation on the part of the government as it relates to banking, and some less than thoroughly thought through deregulations that took place in the late 1990s. And then I would say it was also some improper banking practices that caused the problem. But make no mistake about it, part of the difficulty in getting out of it was our inflexibility because of our national debt.
All right. And finally, before we let you go, tell us about that May 18th Economic Summit.
Well, the May 18th Economic Summit is our Freedom Seminar, and it starts on the 17th with Michael Cox, who's the former chief economist of the Dallas Fed. On the 18th, our major speaker is again Maurice McTeague, the former ambassador to Canada from New Zealand, the former minister of employment and finance for the government of New Zealand. We have a number of speakers. It's from the 17th to the 20th at the Henry Hotel. And last, Tony, I'd like to invite you on May 18th. We have our ribbon cutting for our new operation for our DeVos Graduate School at 1600 Abbott Avenue. The public is invited. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce will be there. The ribbon cutting is at 5:30, and I would encourage you and your listeners to be at our May 14th event in Lansing as we move our DeVos Graduate School into a larger location.
Dr. Nash, I'm going to take you up on that. My wife just recently graduated from Northwood. She took the classes down here in Lansing, so we'll get on up there.
Well, we really appreciate it. I look forward to meeting you in person, Tony.
Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you, sir.